This is Science Friday from NPR News. I'm Joe Palca, sitting in for Ira Flatow. Here's a quiz. What's taller than a man, lives in Sumatra, and smells really, really bad? No, it's not a binturong, although I believe they have bad breath. And it's not the Malayan tapir. In fact, it's not an animal at all. Give up? Well, the answer is the Titan arum plant, or to use its Latin name, Amorphophallus titanum. Or titanium, although it's known colloquially as the corpse flower because of the stench it makes on the rare occasions when it blooms. Now, it turns out you don't have to go to Sumatra to see one of these plants. There are a few of them that have grown successfully in botanical gardens around the world, and there's one that's about to bloom in California. Let me introduce my guest to talk about this. She's Kitty Connolly. She's the Botanical Education Manager for the Huntington Library and Botanical Gardens in San Marino, California. Hello, Kitty.
Hi, how are you?
And I have to say here, in the interest of full disclosure, I know about this imminent bloom because at the moment I'm on leave from NPR and am the science writer in residence at the Huntington Library, although I tried to get the Huntington to come to New York for the day, but they didn't do that, so they stayed in San Marino and I'm here. If you want to talk about this bloom or learn more about what we're talking about, you can call us, 800-989-8255. That's 1-800-989-TALK. And if you want more information about what we'll be talking about this hour, go to our website, www.sciencefriday.com, where you'll find links to our topic. So, a stinky plant. Why is this a big deal? Why are we excited about this?
Well, it's quite the spectacle, really. It's got a number of things going for it. It's huge for a flower. It's one of the largest inflorescences in the world, and it's not the kind of thing that you expect to find just in your daily life. It's quite huge. So it's got that going for it. It also has the smell, which is very unusual. It's a very intriguing plant.
Now, you said an inflorescence. What's that?
That's a stalk with multiple flowers on it.
I got it. Okay. And so is this the first? I think this has bloomed once before at the Huntington. Is that right?
Well, this is our third time that we've had one bloom. We had one in 1999, and then the same one rebloomed in 2002. But this one is an offspring of that plant.
Uh-huh. And have you had a chance to enjoy the odor of this particular plant in bloom?
I was here for the 2002 bloom, and, you know, I'm not one of those people who's jaded. I thought it was awful. You know? It was really awful.
Give us a sense. What is what? There's all kinds of awful. How would you describe this one?
Well, it tends to bloom in pulses, so it doesn't make the same smell all the time. It has the smell periodically. And when it's at its worst, it does smell like a dead animal. The rest of the time, for me, it smelled like what I thought was rotten milk, an old milk carton at an elementary school playground in August in the trash can, you know?
Yeah.
Bad.
Sounds lovely.
Yeah.
Now, but why, just to take this to a more scientific level for a moment. Why would a plant, I mean, what's the thinking here that says that a flowering plant would have a stench like this in terms of a survival value?
Well, you know, a lot of plants have smells, and they're generally to attract pollinators, and this plant's no different. But instead of attracting butterflies or hummingbirds, it wants to attract carrion beetles and sweat flies and flesh flies. So different smells for different animals.
How's your supply of carrion beetles and sweat flies in Pasadena and or San Marino? And do the local horticulturalists know you have them?
Well, I have a feeling we'll find out soon. It's going to go up.
Uh-huh.
When we have other carrion-smelling flowers, houseflies come and lay their eggs on them because they think it's decaying flesh.
Mm-hmm.
So they lay their eggs on there, and then they hatch, and then we have maggots. It's all very colorful.
Sounds like just the thing. Now, what's the timetable? Is there a countdown clock, or do you have a webcam? How are we going to see? I'm happy to say I'll be back in California next week, so I guess there's a chance I'll have a viewing.
There is a chance. I thought it was coming. There haven't been so many bloomed in captivity, so to speak, that we can predict the bloom cycle that clearly. I thought it was getting close because it had the growth rate had slowed down from 5 inches to 2.75 to half an inch a day. But this morning, it was 4.5 inches taller. So it's going through another spurt. We were guessing Monday or Tuesday, although the it hasn't started coloring up yet.
So it's an imprecise science. Let's take one quick call before we have to change topics here and go to Ty in Washington, D.C. Welcome to Science Friday.
Hi, thank you. I'm from the Malaysian region, and I was just wondering if this flower, is at all related to the Rafflesia flower?
Oh, no, it's not. It has a similar pollination syndrome, but they're not related. They are both from Sumatra. They're both found on Sumatra, but they're quite different plants.
Interesting.
All right, thank you.
All right, thanks. Maybe and, we can... Oh, go ahead. You were saying...
Oh, the Rafflesia is actually the largest single flower in the world.
Do you have one of those, too?
No, they're very difficult to cultivate. It's a parasite on a vine that we can't even grow the vine, let alone get it inoculated with the parasite.
There's something to look forward to.
I'm hoping one day.
One more quick call. Let's go to Larry in St. Louis.
Yeah, I just want to say we have the same type of plant at the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Matter of fact, you got the seed from the University of California, and they're trying to see if they'll produce seeds or not.
Wow. Yeah. Have you seen it yourself?
I have not, but it's a huge article on the STLTODAY website.
Okay. Interesting. Thanks very much for that call, Larry. Have you seen the one in St. Louis, Kitty?
No, but I had heard about it, and there's also one at UC Berkeley that's going into bloom, just starting to go into bloom. So one of the things we do is send pollen back and forth between universities and gardens to share the pollen to cross the plants to fertilize them.
This is a great underculture of Titum arum lovers.
It's amazing. People line up for hours to see it and to smell it.
Well, maybe I'll be in the line. Anyway, thanks very much for joining us today.
Oh, you're welcome.
Kitty Connolly is the Botanical Education Manager for the Huntington Library and Botanical Garden. That's in San Marino, California. She joined us from her office there.